Do you know what is the difference between a yoga teacher and a yogi? A yoga teacher is not a yogi because what modern day yoga has been reduced to is just the physical exercises, the postures. And postures are just one aspect of yoga. You see, the word yoga means to join. The word yoga means to join. It is integration. And integration happens not through just exercises, but through a spiritual understanding. So, what Patanjali taught about yoga was that there are eight components or eight limbs of yoga, which is called the Ashtanga. Asht means eight, Anga means limbs. And starting with the first limb, which is the Yama. So yama is the moral conduct. And then comes niyama. Niyama again is like cleanliness and brahmacharya and things like that. Then comes the third limb, which is asana. Now asana is what the modern day yoga looks like. So all the yoga teachers that you see on Instagram, now I'm not saying that they are not yogis. I mean, I'm sure many of them have realized this principle. But there is a lot of commercialization, modern day commercialization of yoga, which has been just reduced to exercises or asanas. The component of physical exercises is called Hatha Yoga. And asanas is the physical postures. And what's important to note is that rather than how much your posture looks good, the major focus is on relaxation and breathing. Because true yoga, true asana happens when the breath flows along with the movement. And no movement should be forced. That was the clear message of Patanjali. So it is not about bending your legs and hands and back and to cause yourself pain and agony. The body should be completely relaxed. If the body is not relaxed, the mind can never remain relaxed. So moving forward, after asanas, we have the pranayamas. Now, pranayamas is the regulation of the breath. By regulating breath, one increases the life force energy within the body, which provides vitality. So there are different types of pranayamas, and these pranayamas, they help to clear the energy channels in the body known as the nadis. So there is one pranayama, for example, called Nadi Shodhan Pranayama, which you also know as the Anulom Vilom Pranayama, where you block one side of the nose and then inhale from another and then again close the other nostril and exhale from the first one. So that is the Nadi Shodhan Pranayama. And there are many other pranayamas. There is bellows breathing, and there are different versions of it. So that's out of the scope of our discussion right now. But pranayama is for breath regulation to enhance the life force of the body. after pranayama, you have pratihara. Pratihara is the withdrawal of the senses. So, according to Patanjali, the control over senses creates the right environment to move further into higher consciousness. And this is quite clear because, for example, if you watch television or your smartphone the whole day, and then you sit in meditation for 10 minutes in the evening, it is but natural that you will not be able to meditate. Because the whole day you have been engaging your senses in such a way that when you sit in meditation and try to control the senses, then they reject, the body rejects. So withdrawal of sight, sound, taste, withdrawal of these senses sort of create a discipline for the mind and body. So after pratihara comes dharana. Dharana is the focused concentration where you choose an anchor or object of meditation. For example, in Vipassana meditation, breath becomes the anchor. You breathe in and you breathe out, and you fix a point where you notice the movement of breath going inwards and going outwards. Now, as the thoughts enter your mind, the intensity of your breath changes. And by watching the intensity of your breath change, an insight comes to you. That insight shows the impermanence of thought. And that insight leads to deeper states of meditative absorption. And which brings us to the next limb, which is the dhyana. Now in dhyana, there is complete meditative absorption. But even in dhyana, we are still in duality because the subject-object split is still maintained. The only difference is that the background noise is now reduced. It is not there literally. Only you are there and the object of your meditation, the breath, the mantra, the chanting, or watching the candle flame or visualizing, whatever the object may be, only the subject and the object remains. This state is called dhyana. Now dhyana is a very relaxing state for most people. That is why you feel good after meditation, because normally the mind's tendency is to diverge, disperse, whatever you call it, is to go in different direction, pull your mind into different directions. So by focusing the mind, just limiting it to the object of your meditation, you experience a certain sense of calm. Now beyond dhyana is the final limb of yoga, which is called samadhi. Samadhi is the final integration where the subject meditating collapse and one enters into a true meditative state. So all thinking is finished at this stage. Only one vertical thought remains, the thought of I am-ness. Now people say that in samadhi there is no mind. But my interpretation is that in samadhi, the fragmented mind becomes the unified mind. The limited, finite mind becomes the universal mind. And everything is simply witnessed for what it is. Like there is pure witnessing. It is even beyond witnessing, I would say, because there is actually nothing to witness. Everything has dissolved, everything is merged into one. This complete oneness. And of course, the samadhi is not a permanent state, so one does come out of the samadhi. But having experienced it, the witnessing starts happening even in the daily living. Now things are seen from a very different perspective. There are no filters. Things are seen simply for what they are. All the dual concepts of right and wrong, good and bad, virtue and vice, they begin to dissolve. And that's how one experiences peace of mind in daily living. So this final integration is the true purpose of yoga. That is what the joining means, yoga. The joining means, the merging means that the fragmented mind, usually we all have fragmented mind, you know, my work, my religion, my culture, my children, my family, my parents, my money, my beliefs, my ideologies, my enemies, my friends, all of this is fragmented mind. So this fragmented mind cultivates, this merges into the whole mind. And that whole mind does not discriminate. It simply observes. It simply witnesses. So when witnessing happens, the what is revealed. Things are simply seen for what they are. And of course, that is the reason why one experiences deep states of peace and bliss, or whatever you want to call it, equanimity, harmony. It changes the nature of relationships, our relationships with others, not just with ourselves, but also with others. And by others, I mean our thoughts, our feelings, sensations, our friends, our relationship with our money, everything. Because the importance which we always gave to this sense of personal identification, this subject, which we call as the me, that energy begins to dissolve. In samadhi, there was no me. So it is seen that me is an illusion. The sense of personal identification is an illusion created by the mind. And when the mind becomes whole, that whole subject-object relationship breaks down. Of course, then we are back into the world. We do experience duality again. And life continues to flow. But now there is an understanding. That is the only difference. Now there is a deep understanding and a deep acceptance of how things are and the way things are. So there remains no need to change people, to change things around. But once one simply becomes an impartial, unbiased observer of phenomenality. For the ego or me, this is not a very settling idea. But in true yoga, even me is seen as an object, as just one object among different objects. So the object me is equal to the object you. There is no difference. Of course, there is a separation in appearance and it is recognized. We are not living under the delusion that we are exactly the same. No, we're not the same. But the essence behind us, the consciousness behind us is the same. And that is the true meaning of yoga. So following the eight limbs of yoga, one creates a complete system of understanding. It is not merely about forcing yourself to sit and to just, you know, try to vigilantly focus on an object. If you do that, you can never rise beyond the subject-object split. To go into samadhi, one has to completely let go of all the effort. Complete surrender leads to samadhi, because the mind realizes its futile nature. And then it completely shuts down, surrenders. So in that surrender, it wakes up to a completely new dimension, where the limited contracted energy merges with the boundless universal energy. And that is what is samadhi. So modern day yoga has merely become a commercialized practice where the focus is just on appearances. Now, there's nothing right or wrong with this. I mean, if you're working on your appearances, if you want to look beautiful, that's absolutely fine. I believe that the body should be healthy. It is very important. It is essential that the body should be flexible and the mind should be sharp. But once you understand the true meaning of yoga, which is the integration, you just don't limit yourself to one system of practice. You cultivate a different quality in mind, a quality of self-reflection, a quality of contemplation. And the mind, body, and breath integrates into one. You see, Ramana Maharishi had a very simple method of meditation. I can't even say that it was a method or practice, because he never prescribed it as a practice, but he would say that stay with this feeling of I thought, this I sensation. Because what happens is that it is the nature of I to move outwards. I am this, I am that, I am a father, I am a mother, I am a daughter, I am a lawyer, I am a doctor, these are my responsibilities, this is what I should do, this is what I should not do. All of that defines me, which this me is an image, which is created by the movement of this I thought. Now, when you stay with the I thought, it's like a loop. The I thought focusing, turning 180 degrees back to itself. Then the I thought is not able to move here and there. And then eventually it merges back into the source from where it originated in the first place. The source, which is the reality, the source, which is the empty fullness, the source, which is a pure potential. And that is samadhi. Now I thought again comes back even after the experience, but then it has a different understanding. Because once the awareness is seen, then one never loses it. So that was Ramana Maharishi's pointer for self-realization. But that is what true yoga means.